Okay, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Mrs. Shulman. And it's a great schos to be able to continue to learn with all of you. A thank you to Sandy for the beautiful sponsorship. And we continue our journey in Sefer Tehillim. So being that last week, we went back to Parak Ches, chapter 8, I'd like to spend one more week, potentially two more weeks on this kapitel. Because as you're going to see, you know, it's interesting. There are some kapitlach that you could read through. And of course, every chapter in Tehillim contains a beautiful, profound, life-altering message. There are some chapters in Tehillim where every line contains a beautiful, meaningful, life-altering message. And as you're going to see, Kapitel Ches, chapter 8, is one of those profound chapters in Sefer Tehillim. So this morning, we're actually going to focus ourselves just on one pasuk. So remember again, just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we have not yet given the background and context to this kapitel. I might use that as the last shiur next week, and I want to thank Mr. Shulman for extending the series for one. You know, I think one of the interesting things that's happened to many of us in the coronavirus age is a total lack of being rooted in normative time. So it dawned on me last night, it's almost the middle of June. Usually I know that I finish teaching for WIT by the beginning of June. I wasn't sure exactly when the class ends, and Mrs. Shulman was gracious enough to give me one more week next week so we could close out at least a little bit of our limud in a more comprehensive fashion. So I think probably next week I'll go back and close out Kapitel Ches and kind of close it out by giving the context of the kapitel. But last week we spoke about Ma Enosh Kisis Gerenu, that strange phrase that seems to speak to the nothingness, to the lowliness of man. We spoke about the beautiful Gemara by Moshe Rabbeinu. And so this morning, I want to focus on Pasuk Zayin. So we're in number 1, verse 7. So the Pasuk says, David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Tamshilenu b'ma'ase yodecho, kol shasa tachas raglov. Literally translated, you give him dominion over the work of your hands. You have placed everything beneath his feet. So already again, we see what I find just dramatic about this kapitel, and I think why I find myself profoundly drawn to it, is the poles, the extremes to which David HaMelech goes within just the course of a couple of psukim. So remember again, as we saw last week, you know, in Pasuk Hey, you have pretty much David HaMelech saying, man is a nothing. What is man? What is man that you should remember him? And the son of man that you should be, the son of man should be mindful of him. Then in the next pasuk, in reality, man is great. He's only just a little bit less than God. And now this week's pasuk zayin, tamshileu b'maase yodecha. You have given man, this is speaking to God, God, you have given man dominion over the work of your hands, kol shasa tachas raglov. You have placed everything beneath his feet. So you see what's happened? In the course of three verses, we went from man being nothing, what is man that you should be mindful of him, to recognition that man is great, a little bit less than God, to now a statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, essentially, you give man dominion over everything. Over everything, God, that you have created, you have given man dominion over. Not only that, but you have placed everything beneath his feet. So what I found intriguing about this pasuk, and again, I think because we're living in different times, and now, you know, just sometimes the way life works is you think that you've seen everything, and then you see something that reminds you that you really haven't seen everything. And then finally, when that new event happens, now you think, I've seen everything. So before coronavirus, we thought we had a handle on life. Coronavirus came, and now the world is different. And now what happened with George Floyd and the protests and everything, again, the world is once again different. So it struck me that here David HaMelech is saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it sounds like what he's saying is, you've put man in charge of everything. In everything. Tamshil b'maseh adecha. Man controls all the handiwork of God. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. Kol shasa tachas raglov. You have placed everything beneath his feet. Which sounds like David HaMelech is saying is, man is in absolute control of everything in this world. You've given him control, God. And I read this pasuk as I was preparing this year, and I thought to myself, I think if there's one thing that none of us feel in this current moment, it's control. We feel a lot of things. I might feel fear. I might feel anxiety. I might feel uncertainty. Of course, hopefully we still experience beautiful simcha and beautiful joy and beautiful happiness. But the one thing I think that none of us really feel is a sense of control. And yet David HaMelech is making a declarative statement. David HaMelech is saying, is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, you've given man dominion over everything you've created. You've placed everything beneath his feet. Now again, I want to point something out. David HaMelech also lived in times of incredible uncertainty. In fact, I would venture to say that the majority of David HaMelech's life was fraught with uncertainty and lack of control. From the time that he's a little boy and kind of marginalized by his family, to when he becomes a rising general, and then ultimately again persecuted, and persecuted is saying it mildly, by his father-in-law, to the time when he becomes king, episode with Bathsheba, internal enemies, external enemies, and again, as we've mentioned before, David HaMelech, you have to appreciate the scene in Melachim. David HaMelech is on his deathbed. The man is literally dying. And what's happened as he's dying? His son, Adonio ben Chagis, proclaims himself as king. Right? David HaMelech is dying. Again, I don't mean that he's sick. I mean, literally, he's dying. He's drawing his last breaths. And he has a child who has now become the self-proclaimed ruler. So David HaMelech did not live life with an illusion of control. David HaMelech understood the uncertainties and the lack of control in life. Yet, David HaMelech makes this declarative statement of Tamshireu b'ma'aseh yadecha, you've given him dominion over the works of your hands, kol shasa tachas raglav, you've placed everything beneath his feet. So what's the pshat? What is the message? Because remember, is David HaMelech trying to tell us we control everything? I don't think so. Because that's not a true statement. We don't control everything. We don't control most things. And also David HaMelech from his own life experience understood that. So what's the message? So if you take a look at the Sefer HaYikarim, number 2, Rav Yosef Albo, the Sefer HaYikarim writes, Ulizeh yira, shu yosef nichbad hayitzira, the yosef shalem yikol ha-ba'alechayim. Writes the Sefer HaYikarim, Rav Yosef Albo, what it means to say is like this, that man is the crown jewel of creation. It doesn't mean that we have control over everything, but what it means is the world, right, the universe was built like a pyramid, right? So what sits on the top of the pyramid? What sits on the top of the pyramid is man. Now you'll say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits on the top of the pyramid. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't sit on the pyramid at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the pyramid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above the pyramid. So in the pyramid of earthly existence, what sits on top of the pyramid? So Rav Yosef Albo writes, man. Man, so David HaMelech is not really talking about control per se, but David HaMelech is talking about in the grand scheme of creation, what is the most important thing in this universe? To which David HaMelech responds, it's man. You have put man above animals. You've put man above plant life. You've put man above everything. So what is man's job? So man, because he is the top of the pyramid of creation, his job is to utilize everything else in this world to somehow better the world around him. So this is an incredible, incredible yisod. So David HaMelech is saying, lest you think that we are spectators in this world. Lest you think that man and animals and trees and whales and everything else is on the same level. It's not true. Man is the most important thing in this universe. And everything else that was created in this world is to serve man. That's the goal. Now, to serve man for what purpose? Obviously, it's to serve man for a higher purpose. We'll get to that in just a moment. But writes the Sefer HaYikarim, that's the idea. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember again, this really goes back to Bereishis, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and creates Adam and Chava, really in the beginning, even before Chava, when he creates Adam, so he says to Adam, Uridu b'digas hayam, I want you to rule over the fish of the sea, kivshua, dominate the world. So therefore says the Sefer HaYikarim, David HaMelech over here is speaking, Tam Shiloh B'Masa Yadecha is a more like creation-oriented statement. Why were we created last? So, you know, there are two ways that you could look at man's creation as the last part of the creative process. You could look at that as being man being the most insignificant item. That which comes last is most insignificant. Or what you could look at it is a demonstrative of man being the most significant. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted man to come into a world that was ready, that was fully prepared, that was perfect. Rashi says, Kishulchan Orech. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam HaRishon and Chava to come into a world that was like a set table. You know, when you have chash of a company, right? If you have important guests, so no one has important guests and says, oh, so happy you're here. You know what? Just give me a few minutes. We're setting the table. You mean you could do that with your kids and you could do that with your mishpacha, right? Or you could do that with very close friends. But if you're having company that's very chashuv, in general, you're not going to say, oh, so happy you're here. Yeah, just, you know, you want to give me a hand setting the table. That's not the way it works with important company. So Rashi points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show Adam and Chava the most important beings in the universe. So he doesn't want them setting the table. He wants them to come into a world that is already set. So which one is it? Is it that man is most important, man is least important? So of course, everything depends on what we choose to do with our lives. But Lamaise says, Rabbi Yosef Albo, says the Sefer Karim, that's the idea. Man is the most important thing in this world. There is nothing more important than man. Everything else in the universe is to serve man. So that's what it means when it says, you have given man dominion over the work of your hands. You've placed everything beneath his feet. Man. Kadosh Baruch Hu created a world for you to do something significant. And everything that is here in this world is here as a resource for you to accomplish something great. The Radak takes us a step further on number three. The Radak writes, Tam Shei B'Maseh Yadecha, Ha'yitzur Mashalim O'Perusho Af Ha'el Yonim, V'amem Sholehi Shemevin B'Sichlo Mahalech HaGalgalim, V'hakochavim. So this is very interesting that the Radak understands that the pasuk itself is actually referring to two different things. Tam shilu b'maseh yadecha, you've given him dominion over the work of your hands. Kol shasa tachas raglav, you've placed everything beneath his feet. The Radak says something dramatically amazing. Tam shilu b'maseh yadecha refers to the heavens. You've given man the knowledge and the ability to understand the heavens, to understand the sun, to understand the moon, to understand the planets, to understand the constellations. So again, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, right? Why it is that man has this insatiable desire to travel to space. There's not enough problems here, right? We got to go to space. So remember again, that's part of our divine mandate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, explore the universe. Understand the universe. So it says, Radak, that's Tamshil Maseh Adecha. Hashem, you've given us dominion over the work of your hands, refers to our ability to understand those things that are even beyond our physical grasp. So I can understand the sun, the moon, the planets, the solar systems, the constellations. Kol shasa tachas raglav, you've placed everything beneath his feet. Beneath his feet, says Radak, says, refers to this world. This world, says, isn't this incredible? Hashem has given us the ability to assert our superiority and our knowledge over that which is above and over that which is below. In the Sefer Imros Torah, set number 4, he says a little bit differently. V'amar tam shileyo, mata masha, excuse me, masha atamam shil oso, hu ayyede shezacha v'hu b'ma'ase yadecha, ki akol hu be'ezrasecha, kein nirali. So this is interesting. So what the Imros Tohoros points out over here is, the wording of the pasuk is, Tam shilehu b'maaseh yadecha. You give him dominion over the work of your hands. This is very important. It is true, David HaMelech is saying is, man has control, or man has dominion, right? So according to the Radak, even that dominion is, I have the ability to understand what is above me, and I have the ability to understand what is below me. I have the ability to understand the universe, the cosmos, space, and I have the ability to understand this earth. What the Imros Toros is saying is, but where does this ability to do this, where does this ability to understand, and the ability even to dominate in certain ways, where does it come from? It comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lest you think that man's ability to dominate the earth, to subdue the animals, the plant, the soil, the oceans, everything. Lest you think that man's ability one day to colonize space, it'll happen eventually. Lest you think that those come from just man, that that's all man who does that. Tamshilehu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have given man the ability to achieve these things. And this is incredibly important because, of course, the greatest risk in general that we encounter in life is the risk of kochi va'otzem yadi asali esachayel hazeh, a thought that it is my strength, it is my prowess, and it is my ability that gives me success. And of course, again, there's nothing further from the truth. I have to put in my effort, but as we all know from life, there are many times that you could put in an incredible amount of effort and yet nothing happens. And then there are other times where you could put in, I guess what we call a relatively small amount of effort, and yet you see the most incredible results. Sometimes you're matzliach, sometimes you're successful, and sometimes you're not. Such is the nature of life. So why is that? That's because we know that in life, I control the effort, right? That's my job, to put in the effort. But what succeeds is ultimately up to the Ribono Shel Olam. So that says the Imros Toros, that's exactly what it means. Tamshileu, it's true. I, quote unquote, could control the earth. And I could even control the heavens, because I could understand what happens in this world. And I could subdue elements of this world. I could subdue the animals. I could subdue the oceans. I could subdue the soil. I can make it do what I want. I can unlock the secrets of space and beyond. But that's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you allow me to do this. And this is incredibly important, because what David HaMelech is sensitizing us to is that when we succeed because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to succeed. But the converse is also true, that when we fail, we fail because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to as well. Now that last part is a little bit more dangerous, because it could lead to a profound life cop-out, that I fail because, oh, God wanted me to fail. No, so nothing happens if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want it to happen. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to succeed, but at the end of the day, if I don't put in enough effort, right? I was once having this conversation with one of my children who I was encouraging to study a bit more for a particular exam. And she gave me a very pious answer. She said, it's all up to Hashem. If Hashem wants me to do well, then I'll do well. And if Hashem doesn't want me to do well, that's the Ratzon Hashem. So of course she thought she had me, because what am I going to do? I'm a rabbi. I'm going to argue theology. Of course, yeah, I'm absolutely right. She said, Shefel, I said, you're 100% right. But at the end of the day, Hashem needs you to partner with Him. HaKadosh Baruch, right? HaShamayim, Shamayim LaHashem, Va'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So at the end of the day, you have to put in your Hishtadlus. She failed at the end of the day, right? Because she chose to play the religious card and it didn't quite work for her. So I think she learned a very important life lesson and theological lesson from that. But Lamaisa says the Imros Toros, that's what it means. It's true, we have dominion over a variety of different things. But Lamaisa, we only have that dominion because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to give us. And in fact, if you take a look at number 5, and this is incredibly important, Rav Hirsch points out something amazing. He writes in number 5, Tamshileu, Hamoshel b'cholar shelo. He says, we find this word Tamshileu before. Where else do you find the word Tamshileu? Moshel. If you take a look at number 5, we're going to skip back and forth just a moment. Number 5, Parashas Chayisara. This is when Avram sends Eliezer to go to find a wife for Yitzchak. So how does the Torah introduce us to Eliezer? Number 6. Vayomer Avram el Avdo Zekam Beiso, Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. Who is Eliezer? Eliezer is the one who has control. Moshel, right? He ruled over all that belonged to Avram. So right, first go back now to number 5 for just a moment. So remember, David HaMelech uses the same word. David HaMelech says, Tamshileu b'maase yodecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes us the Moshel. Eliezer was the Moshel over Avram's estate. But what does it mean to be a Moshel? Rav Hirsch writes, who was the steward over all things in Avram's house, and who thus assigned to everything its own purpose and task in accordance with Avraham's will. It is true, Eliezer was the Moshel. He was in charge of everything in Avram's home. But remember, did he have free reign? Did he have free reign? Did it belong to him? The answer, of course, is no. He was a servant to Avram. But ultimately, again, Avram gave him an incredible amount of latitude to accomplish things on behalf of the household. Writes Rav Hirsch in such a profound way, this is the message of David HaMelech. Tamshileu b'ma'aseh yodecha. What Eliezer was to Avram, we are to the Ribono Shel Olam. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an incredible amount of control. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an incredible amount of dominion. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an incredible amount of shlita, of rulership over things. But it's within a context. It's not free reign. He goes on, he says, man must not enforce his own will upon his fellow creatures. It is his task merely to rule them in accordance with the purposes revealed to him by God. The world does not exist for his sake. It is he who exists for the sake of the world, the Avdal Shema, to serve it, i.e. to bring it closer to its loftiest aims, to guard and to preserve it. It is for this reason that the Lord has put into the world man, a creature possessed of spirit and freedom of choice in his image. So this is incredible. It's for this purpose that Shasa, thou hast laid all things at his feet. He has received dominion over the terrestrial world from God's hands as alone, supreme over all other creatures on earth. He must answer to God for the use to which he puts his position of power. So this is incredible. Rav Hirsch adds in something additional. It is true, God has given man a certain level of control over the cosmos and certainly more absolute control over the earth. But lest you think that that control means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to us and now it's ours to do it as we please and we're not answerable to anyone. No. Tam shileu b'ma'asei adecha. Hamoshel b'chol asher lo. Just like Eliezer was in charge of Avram's estate, but he wasn't the owner. He was the servant. So it was his job to utilize the estate to the best of his ability, understanding what the desires and wants of his master were. So too says Rav Hirsch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us dominion over an earth. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, but I'm the master. So use it in a way that at the end of the day benefits your master. And this is an incredibly powerful yesod. Because the truth is, you know, we're looking at this statement kind of in a more global level, but understand the profundity of this statement even on a more personal level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us things. Right? So remember again, in this pasuk, Tamshil Maaseh Yadecha, Hashem has given us dominion over the work of His hands. So remember again, we think about this as a global statement, but understand it to be on a very personal level as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you dominion over things as well. He gives you dominion over your house, dominion over your bank account, dominion over your possessions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you dominion over many things. But lest you think that therefore I am the owner and unanswerable to... No, I'm not answerable to anyone. No. Tam Shileu, I'm a Moshel. I'm an Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted me with things. But I am answerable to God about how I use them. And this is an incredible idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us dominion. He gives us dominion over our possessions. He gives us dominion over the other creations of the world. But I am answerable about ultimately, again, how I am using them. This is true with our own material wealth. How do we use our own possessions? How do we use our own possessions? And this is an incredibly important question to answer. And this is true whether you have a lot or whether you have a little. HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts me with things that belong to Him. There is nothing in this world that solely belongs to me. And by the way, this is not just true with your possessions. This is not just true with material things. This is true with everything, right? My relationships, my children, my marriage, my house, my car, my money, everything. Those are things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has entrusted to me. But I am not the absolute owner over those things. The Ribono Shel Olam is the absolute owner. And therefore, what I must answer each and every day is how am I utilizing those things? The same way that Eliezer had complete dominion over the estate of Avram Avinu, but he was answerable to Avram about how he was utilizing the resources of the estate. Kadosh Baruch Hu put a whole bunch of resources under my dominion, under my feet, but I am still answerable ultimately again about how I utilize them. How am I utilizing it? Why am I utilizing it in that way? Am I utilizing it to the best of my abilities? At the end of the day, those are the questions I must answer each and every day, which kind of helps to frame also a different kind of question, which is now that I realize that at the end of the day, the resources I have are conferred upon me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I am the custodian of them. There's a much bigger question. You know, sometimes from the time that we're little, we often ask ourselves the question of, what do I want to do when I grow up? I think many of us are still asking ourselves that question. What do I want to do when I grow up? So you know that Ramchal Ramosh Chaim Litzato, in his introduction to Mesilas Yesharim, says, the Jew doesn't really ask that question. The Jew asks a different question. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? And you know, we've discussed this before, that I would say 9 out of 10 times in life, what you want to do and what God wants you to do are very different. What I want to do is, I want to relax. I want to go on vacation. I'd like to take it easy. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do is Adam La'amal Yulad, to work, to toil, to push myself harder. And just when I think I've pushed myself as hard as I can, push a little more. So what's interesting is, and again, for some people, what they want to do and what God wants them to do are the same thing. They line up. Those are the fortunate few. But I venture to say that for most of us, what I want for myself versus what I intuit God wants from me are often very different. One of the interesting ways you could see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you is to look at the brachos He has given you. What has God given you in life? And remember, it might sound trite, but whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you are the very tools you need for self-actualization and for self-accomplishment. So if I look at what I have, by definition, what I have is what I need to become the best version of myself. So if Hirsch says that's the way you have to look at the brachos you have in life, like Eliezer, right? Eliezer is the servant in charge of the estate of Avram Avinu. It's not his. It doesn't belong to him. He's not the owner. He's the custodian. And what is his job? His job is to allow the Abrahamic estate to accomplish as much as it can with the resources it has. And says Rav Hirsch, what's true for Eliezer is the same for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me resources. I am the Eliezer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am the custodian of the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to me. And those resources have been given to me because whatever I have is what is absolutely and unequivocally necessary in order for me to accomplish and to become the best version of myself. But if you take a look at number 7, so remember again, you see a lot of different approaches so far. You see Rav Yosef Albo, who really understands this not so much as a statement about what I have in this world, but a statement about me being the top of the pyramid in creation. We see the Radak, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given me dominion above and below. Vimros Toros, but recognize that dominion is from God. Rav Hirsch building on that. That dominion is from God because what Eliezer was to Avram, I am to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am the custodian of the divine estate that has been given to me to watch, to secure, to nurture, and to do something great with these tools. Comes a Sasemes and says something dramatically different. Sasemes writes in number 7, Tamshileu b'ma'ase yodecha. Listen to this. Says the Sasam, and says the Rebbe, Ger Rebbe, what does it mean when we say that Hashem has given me dominion over the work of your hands? What is that? See, the Sasam is bothered by what all of us are bothered by. What does that mean? What exactly are you referring to? You've given me dominion over what exactly? Says the Sasam, listen to this. The Kasif, Tamshileu b'ma'ase yodecha, Shan the Shamas, Heim ma'ase yodav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is it a reference to, says the Sas Emes? The neshama, the soul. Because what is the greatest handiwork? What is the greatest creation of the Ribono Shel Olam? What is the most magnificent thing that God has ever fashioned in the history of the universe? It's the neshama. It's the soul. Hey Maase Yadav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kimosha Kasav Mishmos Ani Asisi Vahare HaAdam Mamshich HaNeshama Milamala.
So this is absolutely incredible. Writes the Sasemes, what's the meaning of the phrase Tamshileo B'Maase Yadecha?
What's the meaning of the phrase you have given him dominion over the work of your hands? What work, what thing that God has created has he given over in totality to man? And writes the Sasemes, there's only one thing. There's only one thing in this world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given, has created, that man has absolute control over. And what is that? The neshama, the soul. The soul, the one thing I have absolute control over in this world that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was subsequently given to me, is the neshama. Kol shasa tachas raglov, you have placed everything beneath his feet. What's the everything? What do you mean everything? What's beneath my feet? You know, the lashon of that image of beneath my feet means like I'm stepping on it. I mean, I have complete control. My friends, what do you have complete control over in this world? And the truth is, you'd be hard-pressed to come up. Sasama says, there's only one thing that was created by God that ultimately man has dominion over. Only one thing in this world that man has absolute control over. Only one thing that rests beneath my feet, which is what? The neshama, the soul. So what does this mean? So if we expand this conversation a little bit, take a look at number 8. So if we take a look in Parshas Ekev, so Moshe Rabbeinu engages in an incredible conversation with Klal Yisrael, and he says to Klal Yisrael, the Ato Yisrael, Mash Hashem Elokecha Shom Imach, Kim Liyiras Hashem Elokecha, Laleches Bechol Drachav, Li'ava Oso, V'la'avod Es Hashem Elokecha Bechol Levavcha Bechol Nafshecha. So an incredible pasuk. So Moshe Rabbeinu, and again, I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu said it probably sounded pretty compelling. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, look, here's the deal. What does God ask of you? Right? God asks so little of you. What's the only thing he asks of you? Is to revere him, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, and to serve him with all of your heart and all of your soul. That's it. Right? That's it. So that's it. That's it. The Gemara says in number 9. Atu yira shamai milsa zutrasehi. Moshe makes it sound like Klal Yisrael is getting like the deal of the century. Guys, listen, here's the deal. And you better act now because the window's closing. Right? God is willing to give you so much. The only thing you have to do is to revere him, to love him, to walk in all of his ways, and to keep all of his mitzvahs. That's all. That's the totality of life. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes it sound like this is such a little thing. And even the Gemara is bothered by this. Moshe, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have said, listen, Klal Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is willing to give you everything. The only thing you have to do is keep Shabbos. That's all Shabbos. All you have to do is keep kashrus. All you have to do is check your clothing for shatnez. That's all you have to do. And God will give you, but that's not what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, Klal Yisrael, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you except to go ahead and accept upon yourselves to observe and to adhere to an entire system of spirituality, of morality, of mitzvos. Bein Adam l'makom, bein Adam l'chavera, bein Adam l'yatzmo. That's all. And the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems to be minimizing a huge ask. Now, the Pasha Pshat is, the simple idea is, that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, when you compare that which God gives us versus that which God asks of us, obviously we get so much more from God than we give to God. And that's true, right? Think about all the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us, right? I can't take a breath without the Ribono Shel Olam. So obviously, there's nothing that I have in this world without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what does Hashem ask for in return? Yeah, he asks for my fidelity and allegiance as manifest through my adherence and commitment to Torah and Mitzvos. So while HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks a lot of me, I get much more than I have to give. That is absolutely unequivocally true, but says at the end of the day, the Gemara, I don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu makes it sound like he's asking for so little, but in fact, he's asking for a lot. So look what the Gemara says in number 10, an incredible Gemara. I'm Rabbi Chanino, because what is Moshe Rabbeinu trying to teach us? Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of heaven, except for the fear of heaven.
except for the fear of heaven. Right? In other words, and we see Yerushalmai means, what is Yerushalmai? Shneimar, V'yato Yisrael, Ma'ashem Elokecha Shomei Machkim Liyira. That ultimately, again, says the Gemara, what Moshe Ben was really alluding to was, you man, you control nothing. You control nothing. So because you control nothing, the only thing you really control, ultimately, is your ruchnius. The only thing you control in this world is your spirituality. Look at number 11, the Gemara Meseches Nida says something amazing. A famous Gemara says, the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Osa Malach HaLamuna HaRayin Laila Shema. The angel who is in charge of pregnancy, the name of the angel is Laila, or Layla. So what does the Malach do? V'notel Tipa, when a woman becomes pregnant. So the Malach, the angel, brings like the fetus or the drop before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Malach, the angel, asks a whole series of questions. The angel wants to know what is going to become with this tipa, right? What is going to become with this child? Gibor or chalash? Would the child be strong or weak? Chacham or tipesh? Smart or foolish? Ashir or ani? Rich or poor? So all the questions, the Gemara elsewhere has a right. Aratzuga, tall or short? There's one question that the Malach doesn't ask. Perhaps the most important question. V'ilu rasha o tzadik lo ka'amar. The Malach never asks if the child is going to be a rasha or a tzadik. Is the child going to be wicked or pious? Isn't that the most important question in life? So like the Malach will ask the child going to be rich or poor, short or tall, smart or foolish, right? Good looking, not good looking, all the questions. But yet the most important question, is the child going to be righteous or wicked? The Malach does not ask. Why not, says the Gemara? Kid Rabbi Chanina. Dan Rabbi Chanina. Hakol b'dei Hashem chutz miyira shamayim. Shneemar. V'ato Yisrael. Ma'ashem alokech ha'shomim imach kim liyira. The most incredible thing. Moshe Ben is telling Klal Yisrael the following message. At the end of the day, we control very little in life. I don't control if I'm going to be rich or poor. In other words, I want to be clear. I control the effort I put in, and I have to put in the requisite effort. But I don't control the results. So whether I'm going to be rich or poor, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be tall or short, up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be smart or foolish. There are some people who are born with a certain level of intellectual capacity and others who just lack it. That's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Good looking, not so good looking, I guess beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, right? But that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those things are up to God. So says Moshe, you only control one thing. The only thing you really control in this world. V'ato Yisrael. Ma Hashem Elokecha Shomach. What's the only thing you control? The only thing you control is the nature of your spiritual identity. That is the only thing you control in this world. Nothing else is up to you. You know, we know this lesson, right? Because we know this, and we really learn this lesson, excuse me, especially as we get older. You know, when you're young, you think you control everything, right? Do you remember that speech? Remember that speech that you got from your parents the first time you drove? I see my mother's on this year, so I'm sure, I don't think she gave it to me. I think my father actually gave it to me. Hey, so you remember that speech you got from your parents when the first time you went to drive? Be careful, look both ways, don't go fast in the speed limit, or put on your seatbelt, all the different things. And you remember what was going through your head? When you're going through your head, when you heard that speech, I mean, again, my mother's on, so of course I was macabulate and I said, thank you, please tell me more. I appreciate all of the guidance. Let me record it so I can play it over. But the rest of you, do you remember what was going through your head when you heard that speech? Come on, it's ridiculous. Enough already. Please, I got it. I understand this. Why? Because when you're young, you have all of life figured out. You have all of life figured out. Everyone older than you is like washed out and washed up, right? Just whatever, life passed them by. They don't know what they're talking about anyway. I have it all figured out. So that's between like the ages of like 7 and 30. So between the ages of 7 and 30, you think you know everything. And then, but when you turn 30, you realize, I'm an idiot. I actually don't have it figured out. I actually don't know what I'm talking about. Everyone older than me is actually much smarter than me. My parents are actually not foolish. they actually do know a little bit about life and probably even know more than me. Incredible. It's like a light bulb goes off. And I realize the greatest realization, the greatest light bulb is I don't control things. And usually it's because by the time you've hit 30, you've usually hit one or more major life setbacks already. You've usually failed in something. You've usually hit some type of dead end or brick wall, and something has not materialized. You know, people, the reason why this is when you're young, that you think that you have everything figured out, is because you don't realize it, because there's a whole army of people doing everything for you behind the scenes, right? So there are parents taking care of everything for you. And even when you're young and even when you start life, there's still a whole bunch of people doing stuff for you behind the scenes. You just don't realize. You think you're doing it. You think you've got it figured out. You think, wow, look at me. And then again, you hit a certain age in life, and I think that age is different for each of us, so you realize, you know what? I know nothing, or at least I know very little, and I control even less. And the truth is, here's the amazing part. When you reach that age and you reach that milestone in life, because it is a milestone, it's liberating. Because then you begin to realize, when you realize that you don't control 98% of the things in life, it allows you to focus yourself on the 2% that you do control. And that's where I could put my efforts. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, we spend so much time focusing and perseverating on the things that I don't control. I don't control it. And yet Moshe Rabbeinu says, put your efforts on the things that you do control. And by the way, Klal Yisrael, do you know the only thing in life, if you want to be honest, the only thing in life you really control is who you are. At the end of the day, when you separate all the chaff from the wheat, right? When you get rid of all the interference and you have a moment of personalistic honesty, the only thing you really control in life is yourself. We all know this. You don't really control your marriage for one simple reason. There's another partner in that. I could be the best husband in the world, which I'm not, but I could be the best husband in the world. But yet, if I have a spouse who's uninterested, or I have a spouse who doesn't want to take the right steps, my marriage is not going to be great. You could be the best parent in the world, but at the end of the day, we all know this, your children are going to make their own decisions. And some of them are really not going to be good. And that's not a failure in your parenting. That's not a failure in your parenting. That is your child exercising his or her free will. Sometimes in good ways, sometimes not in good ways. And so as I go through life, I begin to realize, wow, I don't control my spouse. I don't control my kids. I certainly don't control my employer. And I don't control my friends. And I don't control politics. And I don't control what's happening around me. So what do I control? And says Moshe Rabbeinu, I've been trying to tell you for thousands of years what you control. Why doesn't anyone listen to me? It's been the same pasuk in Parashas Ekev for the last 3,000 years since we received the Torah. V'ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Elokecha Shomi Imach Kim Yira Kim Yira Hashem Elokecha Leches B'chol. The only thing you control is the personality you create. That is the only thing you control in this world. Anything else you think you control, it's an illusion of control. It's an illusion. You know, it's been very interesting to see in the current pandemic, even from like a Parnassa perspective, that there are some people who, because of the industries and the fields that they're in, have experienced, Baruch Hashem, an incredible windfall. Incredible windfall. And yet unemployment is at record highs. Isn't it incredible how even in the midst of a pandemic, there are some people, Baruch Hashem, Parnassa is rolling in, and some people who are unemployed. Again, and by the way, and just three months ago, some of those same people now who are facing these financial crises, Baruch Hashem, we're independent, we're successful, we're doing wonderfully, because I really don't control it. I really don't control it. V'atei saw Moshe Rabbeinu trying to tell us, stop spending your time focusing on the things that you don't control and focus on the one thing you do, which is you. And now let's take this back. So remember again, what did the Sfas Emes say? The Sfas Emes said that when David HaMelech said the words, Tamshil Masei Yadecha, Hashem, you have given us dominion over your handiwork. What dominion over God's handiwork do I have? I have dominion over the most important of God's handiwork. What's the most important thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu has ever created? A neshama, a soul. And that, in fact, is the one thing I have control over. David HaMelech was not painting a picture of man having, like, you know, the Radak paints this picture over man having control over the earth, over the cosmos, over the heavens. I have knowledge over the earth and knowledge of the cosmos. Control? No, I do not. No, I do not. So says the Sfas Emes, because the only thing you have control over, Tamshileu b'ma'aseh yadecha, I control the handiwork of God. And where, what is the greatest handiwork, the greatest creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the soul. And that is the only thing I control in this world. It is only the neshama, my neshama, that I have control. So says Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Sfas Emes, says David HaMelech, stop wasting your time trying to control the things you... How many parents spend so much time trying to control their kids? Now, of course, this doesn't mean you abdicate your parenting responsibility. Of course, again, I'm a big believer in hands-on parenting. Children need rules, give them rules, repercussions, all different kinds of things. But at a certain point in time, when your child reaches an age, and again, that age will be different for the child, it'll be different for the parent, it'll be different for the family, a parent has to say, I don't control you. I don't control you. You're going to be you, right? And how many times do we try to control other people, right? We try to control our spouses. We try to control our friends. We try to control this. And how does that work out for you? Generally, not so well, right? When you try to control other people, the only thing that usually happens is they become resentful. It backfires and it ruins relationships. So says the Sfas Emes, Tamshil Maaseh Yadecha, the only thing man really controls is the greatest handiwork of God. And the greatest handiwork of God is the neshama. So stop trying to control the things you can't control and focus your effort on the one thing you can. The only thing you truly could control in this world, in this universe, is you. The type of person you are, the type of life you lead, and the identity you create for yourself. V'at, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is not minimizing the ask. When he says, V'at to Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokech Hashem Machanao, Klal Yisrael, what is that Kaddish Baruch Hu asking of you? But to go ahead and revere and to love and to follow and to adhere and to practice and to observe, Moshe Rabbeinu is not minimizing the ask. But what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying is, at the end of the day, that's the only thing you really have control over. It is true, I have to put in ishtadlus, I have to put in a lot of effort in every other area of life. But at the end of the day, I have to put in the effort, but I don't control the results. And this is incredibly important. Because what the Sfas Emes is saying is as follows, and listen to the profundity of the Sfas Emes' idea. You know, in life, let's say in business, a person enters into a business deal, and you know what? It doesn't work out, it doesn't pan out, it falls flat. So I could say, you know what, I tried my best, but I didn't get the results. I tried to raise a mishpacha in a certain way. I tried to raise children on a certain derech, but my children maybe unfortunately choose a different derech. A parent could say, I did what I could. And again, no parent is perfect. I did what I could. I can't control. I did what I could. In most areas of life, all you need to be able to say is, I put in the effort and that's all I could do. There's one area in life where if you fail, you are absolutely unequivocally responsible. And that is in the creation of your personalistic self. If you don't become the person you want to be, and you don't actualize in the way you know you are capable of actualizing, and you don't accomplish the things you want to accomplish, whereas it is tempting to say, it's this one's fault, it's that one's fault, my parents didn't love me enough, my second grade teacher didn't give me enough cookies, my cot was in the back of the room, my employer never paid enough attention to me, I didn't get enough positive reinforcement, I didn't this, the sun didn't shine enough, whatever it is, all the excuses we love to make. At the end of the day, the one buck in life that stops with you is the buck of you. Who you become, what you become, the identity you forge, that's you and you alone. If you self-actualize, give yourself a shkoyach. But if you don't self-actualize in the way you know you are capable of doing, You have no one else to point the finger at but yourself. You know, Rabbi Nachman says, you know, when you point a finger at someone, like to assign blame, the Rebbe says, just always know when you point one finger at someone, three more point back at you. It's tempting to assign responsibility for my personalistic failure to launch to other people. But at the end of the day, if the business deal flops, there could be other people who are responsible. If my marriage flops, there could be another person who's responsible. If my kids choose a different derech, there could be other people who are responsible. But if I don't become the person I know I am capable of becoming, there's only one person who is responsible. And that's me. Says the Sas Emes. That's the meaning of David HaMelech's line. Tamshireu b'ma'aseh yadecha. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've given us dominion over the work of your hands. The work of your hands, a reference to the greatest creation that God ever made in this whole universe, the neshama. And you've given that neshama to me. And now, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you tell me that it is up to me to do something great. But I'll end off with one more piece. If you take a look at number 12, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov ends off, or he adds one additional layer of understanding and comprehension. He says, V'yato Yisrael. He said, look at the second line. Oh, Rabbi Sinai Zichron Levracha. In V'yato Elo Tshuva. Kiger Atshuva V'avodas Hashem Hurak Be'bechinas V'ato. I'm just going to read a few lines. Bechinas Hayom In B'kolo Tishmu. Shelo Yachshov Elo Al-Osa Shah V'arega Shehu Ba'ato. Says Rabbi Nachman, something absolutely amazing. While it is true, let's take the progression. So David HaMelech tells us that Hashem, you've given us dominion over the handiwork, over your handiwork. Says the Sas Emes, what handiwork of God do I have dominion over? That's the neshama, the soul. That's the soul. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ata Yisrael Ma'ashom Al-Kech Hashom Yimach Klal Yisrael. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? What does God ask of you? Except to go ahead and what? Except to go ahead and serve Him. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, all God asks of you is to become the best version of yourself. Says Rabbi Nachman, not only that, but what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu ask of you? Only va'ata. All Hashem asks of you right now is right now. All the Kadosh Baruch Hu asks of you is to be the best you in the current moment. Look at these words of Rabbi Nachman. Bechinas hayom im bekolotishmu shelo yachshov ela al osasha. Just try to be your best right now. Right now. Just think about now. Don't think about tomorrow. Look at these words of Rabbi Nachman. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about the next hour. Do you know why? Ki eincha yodea ma yeled yom. For you have no idea, says Rabbi Nachman, what is coming down the pike. You have no idea what is going to happen in life. So says Rabbi, if you skip down a little bit, skip to the last three lines. Ki tzarech kol echad miyisrael leistakel lekasher osa is v'harega shu omid ba l'Hashem yisbarach. So says Rabbi Nachman something amazing. What he's focusing on is Moshe Rabbeinu's, if you go back to number 8 for just a moment, Moshe Rabbeinu's opening word of vi'ata. What does vi'ata mean? And now. See, the way Rabbi Nachman reads that pasuk is, vi'ata kama. All Hashem is asking you for is now. Is now. Just do your best. Be the best you. Be the best you right now in the current moment. I'm not asking you for tomorrow. I'm not asking you for next year. I'm not asking you even for an hour from now. I'm just asking you for vi'ata for the right now. So if we bring this together, something profound and amazing emerges. David HaMelech says, "V'tamshiril b'maaseh yadecha Hashem, you've given us dominion over your handiwork." Says the Ge'er Rebbe, says Sas Emes, what's the handiwork of God? The soul. God, you have given me control over my soul. And in fact, not only have you given me control of my soul, but in fact, my soul is the only thing I control. That is the only thing in life that I have true control over. I don't control anything else other than the person I am going to become. And so stop focusing on trying to control everything else and put your focus, put your energies on making you the best you can be. Focus your energies on becoming the best version of yourself. Focus your energies ultimately again on your own personalistic self-actualization. And Rabbi Nachman takes this one step further. And don't get lost in long-term personalistic planning. Do you know, I think for many of us, it's almost Elul, which means it's almost Rosh Hashanah. In the Jewish calendar, it's almost always Elul. That's what you have to live your life. It's almost always Elul. So when Elul and Yomim Noraim comes, we love to make long-term plans. We love to make long-term plans, right? I'm going to do this in 1 month, in 3 months, in 6 months, in 9 months. We love to make long-term plans. Do you know what usually happens with most long-term plans? Amazing. You know what happens? Some unanticipated reality sets in and often derails long-term plans. So you know what Rabbi Nachman says? And it's really incredible. Maybe stop focusing on long-term plans and put your effort on short-term planning. And by the way, what's the definition of short-term planning? Right now. Right now. Now again, it doesn't chas v'shalom mean that we should not think long-term. You have to think long-term because that's responsible to think long-term in every area of life. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all He really asks of us is to do our best right now. Tamshileu ma'ase yodecha means take the only thing in this world you control, your neshama, and just do something good with it now. Now, I don't need you to worry about what's going to happen in a week from now, in a month from now, in an hour from now, in a day from now. Just take the one thing you control, your soul, and do something meaningful with it right in this moment. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. Sometimes we feel overwhelmed because we think God has such great expectations, such grand expectations, and we worry about measuring up. And what we don't realize is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has very simple expectations of us. Don't control the world. Don't control your family. Don't control your spouse. Don't control your kids. Don't control your friends. Don't control your coworkers. Just control yourself. Just exert your power of control over the person you could become. Just realize that who you are and who you're not, what you will and what you won't accomplish, that rests with you and you alone. And lest you think that I need you to have a long-term plan, a year plan, a 5-year, 10, viato. All I ask of you is to go ahead and make yourself the best version of yourself now. What'll happen in an hour from now? Who knows? The world could change. Our lives could change dramatically in an hour. What'll happen in a week from now? Who knows? What'll happen in a year from now? Forget about it. So therefore, all I ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is, be the best you right now. Because in reality, that's all you control in life. All you really control is who you are in the given moment. So because of that, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all I really ask of you. Become the best you right now. Tamshileu b'ma'ase yadecha. So while it is true that ultimately, again, we could exert our knowledge and understanding over the heavens and of the earth, and while it is true that we are the top of the pyramid of creation, and while it is true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made us the custodian of all of the beautiful material things we have and to accomplish great things in life, the Sasemis comes along and says, David HaMelech is teaching us a very simple yet profound message. Stop spending your time and energy controlling the stuff you can't control. Focus your energies on the one thing you can control, which is your neshama, which is your identity, which is becoming the best version of yourself. And I don't even need you to commit to doing that long term. I just need you to commit to being the best you, va'ata, in the here and now. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us control over. And that's what we must focus our energies on. A message of David HaMelech that was the guiding principle of his life, and a message in Yiratz Hashem that we should be zocha, should become the guiding principle of ours as well. We'll stop over here for today, and in Yiratz Hashem we'll pick up. We'll probably spend our last shir on this kapitel as well. A schus to learn with all of you, and wishing everyone a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you. For those of you women who jumped on after we made the announcement, there will be one additional class next week, so please watch your emails for that.